And that was Intin's song about Rossport. Welcome back to Switched On with James Fleming. And we've just lost, well, we haven't lost them, but they're disappearing out of the studio at the moment, Dieter Anor and Finn Arden. And we have two new guests, no commercials on this radio station at the present time, straight through songs, art and poetry. I'd like to welcome Christian, you'll have to pronounce your surname.
Yes. Oh, Hunfeld. It's Christian Hunfeld.
Very bad foreign names. Jennifer Liston, that's a bit easier.
Bit easier.
Thanks, Jennifer, for coming in today. Jennifer, Friday night's a big night in Galway, and I'm not sure if it's a big night for yourself, but you're launching a book of poetry.
Yes, indeed. No, it's a very big night for me. As you mentioned, I live in Adelaide now, in South Australia, but I'm originally from Gort, just out the road, and I've published two books before now, but I wanted this third one to, I suppose, to come back to my roots a bit, and I'm delighted that I get to launch it here at one of Kevin Higgins' events tomorrow night at Sheridan's. So I am very excited.
Christian, you knew about this last night when I stopped you on the street, so it's around town, people know about this event.
Yes, I actually read about it somewhere and I thought I would love to go, but I'm afraid I might end up sitting in the cinema. But I did hear about it, and I know Sheridan's, it's a lovely place upstairs, is it?
Well, actually, I haven't been at it myself, so we might go for a little drink later on just to check it out and see before tomorrow.
Well, the title of the book of poetry is, Jennifer?
It's Lead Skeletons.
Would you give us a poem from it? Have you got it ready?
I'd be delighted to.
Give us a poem from it so the listeners can get a taste of where you're coming from.
Okay. This one is called Reeling Back Those Years. Flickering 80s newsreels. Ireland's own home movies. Riots, unrest, H-block hunger strikes end in death and marches. Angry attempts to enforce peace, kidnappings, hostages, gunrunner Haughey and woolly-haired academic Fitzgeraldly the PACs, brain drain, bleak economic outlook. Fab Vinny brings us MTV, analogue synth, the decade's soundtrack. Big hair, shoulder pads, teenage Bono gets his break. Eamon runs, wins, Phil loses, leaves this old town. Gabo for everyone on Saturday nights. What's another year? Warbles Johnny. I spend my student days in a daze. My mother's eyes reflect the space in my father's favourite armchair. Before his time, he has become silent footage.
Oh, that's lovely. And we're from the same vintage, because all that is familiar to me. Kristen, you've heard those familiar names as well?
Absolutely, yeah. Gay Byrne. Yeah, I used to watch Gay Byrne. Actually, the first time I came to Ireland was almost exactly 30 years ago, in the summer of 1980. So I would have got a lot of that.
Yeah.
And you'd be doing your leaving cert around then, when all that was...
Yeah, I was leaving school, going to college, and it was bleak back then, and there was the brain drain and the whole exodus, and then the Celtic Tiger is coming and going since I've left. So.
And when did you write that one?
I actually wrote that one just about a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
So, the poetry is, it's interesting because, you know, even though there's a lot of Australia in some of my poems, there's also a lot of Ireland. So I guess I choose the poems to read depending on where I am in the audience.
I have to bring it up to Gerry Ryan, the late great radio presenter. He didn't get a mention in that poem, did he?
No, he didn't.
I'm not criticising it or anything, but it was just a. I just had to say it for some reason. He must be up there making me say it to you. But he was a big part of Irish life, even in the late 80s.
Yes, he certainly was. And I guess I kind of headed to Australia at the end of the 80s, so, you know, he was probably getting big then. But, you know, I could maybe revisit it and edit.
I missed the Rosa Tralee.
This could take up a book on its own, the whole poem.
Yeah, it's really, really good. So it was a process of kind of being all these memories coming back to you while you were in Australia, or were they coming back to you, or was it not being able to let go of those memories that came to you?
It's probably a bit of both, and in fact the way I structured the poem was like those flickering old movie newsreels that you see, where you just get glimpses and the frames are very slow, And hence just the brief words and descriptions, or well, they're not really descriptions, just words that will resurrect a memory. And obviously the association with my own father, who was very, very much into making home movies. You know, it's a wonderful legacy we have as a family, is my father with his movie camera taking, you know, Super 8 movies of us all growing up. So we have all our you know, major anniversaries and dates in our lives marked with lovely movies. So it was a combination of all those things.
And how did it come about that you got invited, or that you are coming to Galway for this week to launch a book of poetry? How did that happen?
Well, it was through, I suppose, a fortunate series of events. I came back, I was back in Ireland last November, and I had been in touch with Kevin Higgins. My very close friend Irina had attended a poetry workshop of Kevin Higgins and really liked him, and, you know, subsequent research, I see he's very, very well known and as a poet in his own right. So he very kindly, and John Walsh, arranged for me to do a few readings around town when I was back in November. So I was at the Roisin Dubh and another place, did a few readings, and then just through conversation, you know, it came about, this book was ready to go, and I thought, yep, it's perfect. And Kevin was kind enough to say, you know, slot me in, and he's going to actually launch it tomorrow. So
is there an open invitation for everyone to come along on?
Absolutely, absolutely. It would be great to see, you know, anybody and everybody. If you like having a glass of wine and listening to people, you know, saying their poetry and whatever. And there's a very good lineup. There's Dave Lourdan, who's a very well known, very entertaining poet, even though I haven't met him. I'm looking forward to meeting him, but I've seen, or at least I've listened to one of his poems on YouTube, and he's a great performer himself. And then another two ladies, Drusilla Wall and Eileen Feeney. I haven't had the pleasure of meeting them yet, but I'm looking forward to meeting all three and hearing their work.
Your kind of compensation for all those people that couldn't get over for Cork for the Literary Festival back in May. So this is an Australian Irish poet, Irish Australian poet who's arrived in the time, the film festival, compensating for those people who were involved in Cork that couldn't make it over because of the volcanic ash.
Yes.
But looking forward to hearing another poem now. Have you got another one that you can deliver?
Yes, I do.
At a whim?
Yes, I do. I think this one is for everyone who's been in a bar and watched proceedings. It's called Pick Up. Like a decorator crab, he sidles up to the orange-skinned blonde sipping Cosmos at the bar. Her black dress hemline carefully positioned to reveal gym-toned thighs. His bling complements her hair's brassy tones. Her risque banter and décolletage cause his pants to dance and a silent roar of score in his head. She tingles at his suggestive moves and lewd lip licks. She's up for it and downs her drink. They leave together, a well-suited pair of odd fish.
Well, they found each other, and that gives us an opportunity to go to a song by, it's called Finding You by the Go-Betweens, and then we'll come back afterwards and talk to Christine Hunfeld and Jennifer Liston. I'm James Fleming, and here we go with Finding You. Hi everyone, welcome back to Switched On Arts show at Flirt FM. My name is James Fleming, and today we spoke to Dieter Arnour, Finn Arden, who have left the studio. Now we've got Kristen Kuhnfeld and Jennifer Liston. Before I talk to Jennifer and Kristen again, I'll just want to say quickly to everyone that was involved in the Colour Street Colours Fringe Festival last week, well done and congratulations for all your work and for putting on such a good festival. Jimmy Rooney, Julie Fredericks, Stephanie Gonzalez, John Smith and many more, and all the people who gave up their venues for the festival to make it a success. So thanks for that again. And now we'll just get back to our guest, Kristen. Just Kristen, you're over here as a guest of the festival. You've been here for a number of years, but it's probably up there on your highlights of attractions every year to come and visit the festival.
Actually, only my second Galway Film Fly. It was only last year that I made it to be here for the Film Fly. I come to Galway quite a bit, or to Galway rather, and I always managed to miss the Film Fly. So last year was the first time, and then I decided I want to come back this year. So I'm in a bit of a film marathon, actually, because I've just come back from Munich, from the Munich Film Fest, which is rather big, and so I spent about a week in the cinema in Munich, and out on a raft with international guests of the festival and the festival director doing interviews and stuff, which was lovely. I'm a bit filmed out, really, but I'll try to see as much as I can.
And you're a journalist or a radio presenter back in...
Both, yeah. Radio reporter and presenter.
Yeah. And very active, lots of work?
Enough work, I'd say. I'm freelance, so I've got a sort of a contract, but I'm still freelance, so I can kind of choose what I want to do. You don't want to say no too often because they might forget about you. But it gives me an awful lot of freedom, so, you know, I could just go to Munich for a week and see lots of films and then come here and watch more films. And I'm, you know...
You're a film expert at this stage, I'd say, well, relatively so. Can you give us any insight into films that are coming up in the programme that you might have seen?
Actually, yeah, I saw a few. One that's coming up, I think it's tomorrow. It's called The Unloved. It's a British film. You might have heard about it. It's by Samantha Morton, and it's her first film as a director. She's actually quite a well-known actress. She's worked with, I think, Michael Winterbottom and people like that. And she made this film. It's about this little girl. It's not a very funny film, you know. It's rather sad and bleak. And this little girl who can't live with her dad, and her mum's gone off somewhere, and she doesn't know where and why she can't live with her mum, and her dad tends to be a bit violent, so she gets taken off into home, and then she's been in foster. It's called The Unloved.
The Unloved, okay.
And when I watched that film, it was actually on at the Emden Film Fest, which is the biggest film festival in Lower Saxony, where I live in the north of Germany, and they get a lot of German premieres of Irish and English films. So I watched it there, and I watched it, and I thought, well, this director knows what she's talking about. And then I read up on her, and it turns out she actually spent, I think, her first 16 years of her life in that kind of situation between the family and foster parents and various homes, and she made a film about that. It's not her story, but you can see that she knows what she's talking about, and it's a wonderful film, I think.
Okay, I'm trying to find the page for it here on the...
I know it's on Saturday.
It's definitely on... I can see it in the front, but it would be great if whoever made the programme just put the page number right across from where they have the time and the name of the film on the programme, so you could just flick to the page and find it.
You try to find the film, and I'll tell you about another one that I saw in Munich. Okay. It's called L'Uomo Che Verrà, Italian film, The Man Who Will Come. And it's in dialect, it's not in Italian. It's in a dialect, and I can speak Italian, but I found it really hard to understand. I had to read the English subtitles. And it's set against the backdrop of 1944, one of these big horrible massacres that the Germans did in Italy. But the film actually tells you the story of this family just trying to keep their life together while all this stuff is going on. Some of the young lads go off into the mountains and become resistance fighters, and of course there's all this German retaliation, and it's really well done film, and it's the massacre that you can see in the film actually happened, you know. So for me, being German, it's something that's not very easy to watch, you know, because you get an idea of what life would have been like for these people trying to make a living. They're farmers, mm-hmm. you know, and getting caught up in all this war stuff and these Germans that have no business being there, and they're occupying their country, you know.
Yeah, it sounds great. I found The Unloved, and It looks really, really good. So if anyone wants to get along to that, the Omniplex, Saturday at 5:30. And duration of that film, I'm looking for duration here. Does it say it? Running time, yes, 106 minutes. As a film goer, do you find that's a very important part of the film, the running time? Will you judge the film on that, or how?
Well, if I'm really tired, you know, if it's the last film of the evening, I managed to see 5 one day in Munich, so you don't really want to go to a 2.5 hour film at, starting at 10:30 in the evening, you know. But otherwise, I've seen films that were really long and I didn't feel it. The last one actually being Michael Haneke, you know, the Austrian director that got the award in Cannes for the White Ribbon. And that's in black and white, and it's 2.5 hours. And it took me an awful long time to actually find the time to go and see it. And I sort of, I knew it wasn't, you know, not much to laugh in this film, and it's really, but I absolutely wanted to see it. So finally I managed to go and see it, and I didn't feel the 2.5 hours. I think it's even a bit more than 2.5 hours. It's such a brilliant film.
Okay. Jennifer Liston, poet. Did you get to see the opening night film?
Certainly did. I was fortunate enough to get a ticket. People went along, and it was great. Really, really enjoyed it.
Yeah, there was a couple of the people involved in the film at the Rowing Club afterwards.
That's right. Yes, I shook the hand of I think the middle brother. You know, I mean, they were great.
The kids
acting
were lovely.
They were just fantastic. They seemed so natural, and you could imagine the lads, you know, carrying on that way, and yet the backdrop of the tragedy of their father's imminent death. You know, it was. I thought it was quite beautiful and yeah, very evocative. Yeah, I thought it was really nice.
And you can find a lot of the people, well, not a lot of the people, some of the people involved with a lot of the movies hanging around Galway at the moment. And the Galway Rowing Club is hosting the festival club this year, and the place done up beautifully in black and white. And it's a good place to go every evening if you're looking for an alternative to the usual around Galway. You can head down to the Rowing Club, and I'm sure they'll let you in there, and you might meet a star, or even your normal Joe Soapamatter. A really nice guy, Jerry Murphy, there the other night, just walked in with a baseball bat, and he'd so many interesting stories. So there's some lovely people knocking around Galway, and as you do every year around the film festival, I think it's the best week and probably the best festival in Galway, as far as I'm concerned, of all the festivals in Galway. So try and come out and see some movies. Jennifer Liston, who's no relation to the great Bomber Liston, and I'm sure when she's in Australia, anytime she meets anyone from Ireland in Australia, as they do, they get very sentimental and they bring up the Bomber Liston. Is that a case over there? Is it more about?
No, it's. I think it's a bit more local. I haven't come across anybody in Australia who knows the Bomber Liston.
And
he's probably the only Liston I'm not related to.
And there's probably a poem in it.
There could be a poem in that. There's a poem in everything.
In the Bomber Liston. Would you give us one more of your poems? And I'll just, before you do that, I'll just announce again that your poetry book launch is on upstairs in Sheridan's at what time?
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock tomorrow night, and everyone's welcome. There might be a glass of wine and a laugh and some good poetry to be heard, so there's an opportunity. And then you can head off to a movie and then go to the Rowing Club after that. There's your Friday
night.
Sounds
like a great night sorted, doesn't it?
Jennifer, what's the next poem that you're going to share with us?
Well, do we object to sex and strong language at all on this programme?
No, we encourage it.
We encourage it. Great. Well, what I might do is read a poem from my second book, which is called 17 Poems, One for Every Year of Innocence, which was published a couple of years ago. And this poem is called A Question of Sex. How do we measure the pleasure of the population's copulation? Is passion a fashion? Is being erotic an antibiotic? Are we frantic for tantric? Would we miss the kiss? Does the size of my bust mirror that of my lust? Does the size of his penis relate to his meanness? To make a buck, would I give a fuck? Is there escape from rape? Why do gays pay? How can we blunt the blades of AIDS? How could a pope hope to fathom orgasm while a celebrity celibate? My guilt is inbuilt.
Wow, that was brilliant.
This is great. You couldn't have done that 30 years ago, and the bishop would be down here in no time.
It was funny, actually, at the launch of that book, I happened to invite a quite prominent member in South Australia of the political arena to launch the book. What I didn't know at the time was that he's actually quite a staunch Catholic. So he had a great time. He loved a lot of the book, but he also said, well, you know, why would you want to... Why would the Pope want to fathom orgasm? there was no answer to that, really.
So there's a lot more to come tomorrow. You'll have guest speakers, or will a lot predominantly be your stuff being...
Oh, no, it's a combination. I'm just one. As I said, there are three other poets who will be reading from their various books. There's Dave Lourdan and Drusilla Wall and Eileen Feeney. And Kevin Higgins will be launching my book. So there'll be a smorgasbord of poetry to listen to tomorrow.
Wow, that'd be great. And in the meanwhile, Christian, you'll be watching some movie.
Actually, I have to run off in a minute anyway to see Nothing Personal with Stephen Ray in it, which actually got a German cinema release, but I didn't see it because we all get it in German. I refuse to
run
watch
off in a minute.
Stephen Ray in German.
How
don't
can I not
it.
Take that personal? No, we've come to the end of the show because it's 4:59 on my screen here in front of me, so I'm out of here by 5. But Christian, thank you very much for coming in and sharing your views on the movies. Jennifer, all the best with the poetry launch tomorrow night.
Thank you very much.
Hopefully I can make it, and I'm sure it'll be waged with people. And everybody involved in the film festival, and we'll probably be back next week. And we're going to leave you with a song from The Go-Betweens again. And it's Born to a Family. So until next week, James Fleming, Switched On Arts Show. Talk to you then.